Hello and welcome to another episode of the Messed Up Gardener. My name is Esther Aiken. I'm your host for today and I'm absolutely buzzed to be here. I would like to start this week's episode by saying thank you so much for listening to another episode. This podcast is something I'm extremely passionate about and I know it's not perfect and I do not do all the fancy editing or fancy music and I often record these when I'm exceptionally tired. Not because I mean to, that's just because often the only chance I really get to sit down and do anything remotely hobbyish happens to be very late at night when my child's asleep and my partner is either away doing bees or he is just so knackered that he's gone to bed early. No matter what, I still try and show up every week for you, even though I don't necessarily always manage to hit my own deadlines. If you do know somebody that can benefit from listening to me prattle on for 20 minutes or so a week, hopefully presenting some useful information regarding plants and gardening, etc., then please do share an episode or two. Basically, all I'm doing is organically growing this podcast, and it isn't really something that I do for money. I just love being able to provide elements of my career, knowledge, and experience, and if I'm able to help one person, then it has been fully worth spending the time creating these episodes. This week hasn't been the easiest one for a while. We had a family member roll their vehicle and cause some serious harm to themselves, which has meant a lot of to and froing to hospitals for us. And I will be honest with you, my employers have been amazing and my friends and family have been so fantastic. And I am so grateful to you as well. So again, I haven't really been able to get out in the garden much. I did, however, manage to harvest a decent chunk of feijoas. Again, they've all been scooped out and frozen in. Hopefully tomorrow I'll be able to collect a whole heap of persimmons and manage them as well, ready for eating and freezing in. Some obviously ready for baking throughout the season. My partner has been so busy this week. Every minute that he had to spare when we weren't running around for family, he has been creating me the most amazing fruiting room for my mushrooms. This week we had a massive milestone where we have put in a fogging system which will increase the humidity in the fruiting room itself, and we also have a number of light strips in there which will go on a 12-hour on and 12-hour off timer. So the mushrooms think they're basically getting natural light environment and want to grow just perfectly, hopefully. The very first batch we created at the beginning of the month has also been moved into the fruiting room, so hopefully we'll be seeing photos, or you'll be seeing photos of the mushrooms being produced from those batches on my Facebook or my Instagram pages. Again, you can find me on Facebook as Esther Aiken and the same for Instagram. One of the things I did do as part of my winter gardening chores was spread out wood chip around the orchid garden to keep the soil a bit warmer during the winter months, and of course replace the bark that has been rotting away over the last year. Those orchids are looking really good. Again, as you may know in the third episode, now that was a while ago, I talked about layering your gardens and my orchids played a large role in that one. However, I layer, you know, a particular garden I have here at home. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that episode, it was really clunky, but I had a lot of fun creating it. Just to top the week off, it's been raining, which means this weekend has kind of been a bust when it comes to doing any gardening chores outside. But I did get to go through and have a bit of a cleanup of my indoor plants, which is why I thought it would make a great episode topic. The plan is for this episode to not be a long one. I don't have a heap of time today, so I'm going to try and keep it relatively concise. And as such, I'm going to dive straight in. So as we know, maintaining healthy indoor plants during the cooler months requires a thoughtful approach. As the change in season brings about shifts in temperature, the humidity and light, all of which can significantly impact the well-being of your green companions, I'm going to cover a number of ways you can beat the winter chills. And the first way is to consider light adjustments. As the days shorten, move your plants closer to windows or consider supplementing with grow lights to compensate for the decrease in natural sunlight. However, be wary of cold drafts that may or may not harm your plants. Now, I had a string of pearls plant that was doing amazing things and was looking fabulous. It really loved its spot on the windowsill, and it didn't even occur to me that it could get frosted on that particular window. But it did, and it never recovered. I sadly thought that it would be happier staying where it was than moving it away from the cold window, and mostly because I knew it would get the light levels there that it needed, which leads me nicely into temperature control. Keep a consistent indoor temperature, ideally between 65 to 75 degrees Fahrenheit, or in New Zealand, 18 to 24 degrees during the day and slightly cooler at night. Avoid placing plants near cold drafts, obviously, so I learnt, or direct heat sources like radiators, which can dry them out or cause them to go into shock. And of course, you know, keep them away from and fireplaces or heat pumps. Also, a big thing is to reduce watering. Plants generally require less water in cooler months as their growth tends to slow down. Allow the soil to dry out slightly between waterings to prevent root rot, but don't let it become bone dry. Now, again, this is potentially a bit of an issue because if you have an environment that is always air conditioned and basically stays exactly the same temperature and humidity, then your plants may not even recognize that it is a different season. So your watering regime would stay the same or change very little. I think that's why I love my peacelilies so much, because they will let you know when it's time to give them a water, which is a great indicator for when your other plants will need water as well. Now, this again leads me nicely into looking at your increased humidity. Basically, many houseplants thrive in higher humidity levels than typical indoor winter air offers. Group plants together, use a humidifier or place water trays near your plants to increase ambient moisture. I know this is a little bit of an odd one in winter, considering most of the time there is a lot of rain and things, but with the heat pumps and fireplaces or any heat source really, it does dry the air out, and your indoor plants are not fans of the dry air. The following point I want to make is to avoid repotting. Unless absolutely necessary, avoid repotting your plants during the cooler months. They are likely in a dormant phase and won't recover from the stress of repotting as easily as they would during their growing season. Again, you would only be repotting if you have some serious issues with diseases or broken containers, etc. So this next point is the reason that I'm covering this topic in this episode, and it was pruning and cleaning. Gently prune away any dead or dying leaves to help your plants direct its energy to the new growth. Wipe down leaves with a damp cloth to remove dust and allow for better light absorption. My peacelilies get really grubby, so I'm often wiping them down no matter how hungry your plants may be. Winter is the time when you have also a fertilizing pause. Hold off on fertilizing until the growing season resumes in spring. During winter, plants' growth habits slow down and they require few nutrients. That's not to say if you have a consistent temperature. Again, it is something you would judge according to the environment your indoor plants are situated in. Now, this next point is really important to maintaining good health, especially during winter. It is to keep your pest inspections up. Keep an eye out for pests that might take advantage of our indoor plants' weakened states during the cooler months. Early detection and treatment are key to preventing infestations. If you don't catch the pests during winter and spring, they will massively increase in number, and it'll be a real mission to deal with them. Something that would definitely help, and that is ensuring adequate air circulation. Ensure there's enough airflow around your plants to prevent the accumulation of too much moisture on their leaves, which can lead to fungal diseases. And last but not least, mindful observation. Pay close attention to your plants. Changes in their appearance can give you early warnings about their needs. Drooping leaves, for instance, might indicate a need for more water or better light. By following these tips, you can help ensure your indoor plants not only survive but thrive throughout the cooler months, adding a touch of vibrancy and life to your indoor space. Just quickly, I'm going to cover a couple of my favorite indoor plants that, when considering indoor plants, that can not only survive but thrive in cooler climates. It's essential to look for varieties that have adapted to lower temperatures and less sunlight. Here are five easy care indoor plants that totally fit this bill, along with the reasons why they're excellent choices for cooler environments. The first I want to talk about is the snake plant, right? Snake plants are highly resilient and can thrive in low light and cooler temperatures, making them perfect for indoor environments that don't see much of the sun. Their thick waxy leaves retain moisture, allowing them to withstand cooler climates without frequent watering. This adaptability, combined with their air purifying qualities, makes them an excellent choice for any indoor setting. And my next favorite would have to be the cast iron plant. True to its name, the cast iron plant is nearly indestructible. It prefers low light conditions and can tolerate a wide range of temperatures, including colder climates. Its ability to thrive with minimal care makes it an ideal plant for beginners or those who prefer low maintenance indoor greenery. And of course, I have to mention the peacefully. While the peacefully enjoys higher humidity levels, it can adapt to cooler temperatures as long as it's kept away from drafty windows. It's known for its ability to purify the air and can thrive in low light conditions, making it a great indoor plant for enhancing air quality while adding a touch of elegance with its white blooms. Then, of course, there's the ZZ plant. So the ZZ plant is another low maintenance option that can withstand a range of indoor conditions, including the cooler temperatures. Its ability to store water within its leaves makes it highly drought tolerant, and it can thrive in areas with low light. This resilience makes the ZZ plant a fantastic option for those looking to add greenery to their space without the need for constant care. And if you're after something a little bit more, well, let's just say viney, then you can't go past the pothos, which is a hardy vine that can adapt to lower light levels as well and the cooler temperatures, making it, again, an ideal plant for indoor environments. Its trailing vines can grow long and lush without much water or warmth, and it can help purify the air, making it both a decorative and functional addition to your home. These plants not only bring a touch of that natural outdoors, indoors, but also offer the benefits of air purification and minimal maintenance requirements. Their ability to adapt to less than ideal conditions makes them perfect companions for cooler climate dwellings, ensuring your space remains green and vibrant all year round. So indoor plants, while somewhat shielded from extremes of outdoor winter conditions, are not entirely immune to the season's challenges. During winter, as mentioned, reduced light levels, lower humidity, and changes in temperatures can stress indoor plants, leading to a variety of symptoms. Recognizing these signs early can be crucial for taking corrective action to ensure the health and longevity of your indoor garden. A big sign that is hard to miss is leaf drop. Okay, so one of the most common signs of stress in indoor plants during winter is the dropping of leaves. While it's normal for some plants to shed a few leaves as part of their life cycle, a sudden increase in leaf drop can indicate that the plant is under stress. This can be due to a variety of factors, including insufficient light, overwatering, or exposure to cool drafts from windows or doors. The following sign I have had previous years in an area where it was sitting in the direct flow of the heat pump, and in this case I'm talking about brown leaf tips or edges. When you notice the tips or edges of leaves turning brown and crispy, it's often a sign of low humidity. Indoor heating systems can drastically reduce the moisture level in the air during winter, and some plants can be particularly sensitive to this change. This symptom can be addressed by increasing humidity around the plant, for example, by misting the leaves or using a humidifier. Now, of course, the next sign is pretty clear when the plant presents wilting or drooping. This can be a sign of either under or overwatering. During winter, the water requirements for many indoor plants decrease as their growth slows down. Wilting or drooping leaves might indicate that the plant is not using water as quickly as it's being supplied. leading to waterlogging and root rot. Conversely, it can also mean that the plant needs more water than it's currently receiving, especially in heated rooms where the soil dries out faster. Basically, just give the soil a bit of a scrunch around to see how wet or how dry it is, and often that'll be a good indicator as to what if it is wet or dry. Then there is the simple discoloration of pale leaves. If your plant's leaves are turning yellow or pale, it could be a signal that it's not getting enough light. So shorter days and lower light intensity of sunlight during winter can significantly affect the amount of light indoor plants receive. Again, they're already inside, so they're already struggling for light because of the dwelling situation, and in winter even more so. This can hinder photosynthesis, leading to discoloration. Moving your plants closer to a light source or supplementing with artificial grow lights can help counteract this sort of stress. And the last one is slow growth or no growth. While it's normal for plant growth to slow down in winter due to lower light levels and temperatures, a complete halt in growth or the appearance of stunted, weak new growth can be a distress signal. This could be due to the combination of factors including inadequate light, increased watering, or even pest infestations, which can be more challenging to notice in the dormant season. By staying attuned to these signs of stress, plant enthusiasts can take steps to mitigate the hard conditions indoor plants face in winter, ensuring they stay healthy and vibrant until spring. So regularly checking your plants for these symptoms and adjusting their care routine accordingly can make a world of difference in their ability to thrive during the colder months and obviously making it through to spring. I hope that there was something of interest in this episode. Whether you're a seasoned gardener or just starting out, let me know what your favorite indoor plants are and why. You can, again, reach out on Facebook or Instagram and send me a DM. If you do have any gardening questions, please do reach out. I'm going to keep compiling a list every now and again. I'll do an episode on a bunch of combined questions. I haven't done one for a while. I think I might do one in the next few weeks. Every week I do mention this, and don't be shy. Let me know if you're needing some private coaching, no matter what level, from beginner to experienced. Reach out and let's have a chat. I have a few one-on-one gardening mentoring spots available. Sometimes it really is easier to accomplish a task or a project having a gardening mentor and quietly holding you accountable to whatever tasks you set. Flick me a DM or email me. Let's check to see how we can work together. My contact details, as always, are in the show notes. Don't forget to email me or DM me for any gardening freebies. And as always, I say gardening can happen in any space and on any place and on any budget. Have an incredibly abundant week, and I'll buzz you later. Bye. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I would love to hear about your gardening adventures. Flick me a DM on Instagram at @TheMessedUpGardener or send me an email and let's connect. Don't forget to check out my gardening reels on TikTok. If you are looking for some help planning your next garden project or just need some one-on-one private coaching, reach out and let's get growing. If you have a garden-related business or you're looking at starting a gardening business, including arboriculture, land clearing, firewood, or a general plant growing and selling business, let's work together in my one-on-one private business development coaching container. Having helped my clients grow several six-figure plus businesses, including from startup to working on million-dollar open space management contracts for many years now. Let me help you and let's grow your business so you can leapfrog your profits and establish a viable and sustainable business. If you're looking for a business podcast, check out the Let's Biz You Up podcast, available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If this episode was at all helpful, please share with others and let's get growing in any space, in any place, and on any budget. Till next time, happy gardening, and buzz you later.